Amen. I just want to honor Pastor Peter and Pastor Gail. Amen. And just a beautiful, beautiful family. Just embraced us. Amen. And we just thank God for their friendship. We thank God for their love. Amen. We've been rocking and rolling for many years, ever since they started down the street at the little church there. Amen. I remember when they had 5 members. Amen. You started out with 5. I started out with 8. And we see God has brought the increase. Amen. But God brings the increase when there's faithfulness. Amen. And they are faithful people. And I thank God for them. I thank God for the Living Word family. Amen. Those who call this church home. Amen. It is a blessing. How many know there's a blessing that flows on your life from the head all the way down to everybody? Amen. But how many know you got to be in position to receive that blessing? Amen. You got to be in position. You can't move here and move there. You got to plant roots where God wants you. Amen. Because as you do that, there's blessings that flow in your life. Amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from Crossroads Christian Center, from Colorado Springs and Fountain. Amen. We have a church there where they're having church about right now. They should be in the heavenlies. I pray they are. Amen. That where they are right now. Amen. And they're doing a work for the Lord. But we thank God for them, and thank God for my wife being here with me, my partner, my friend, my lover, my good thing. Amen. He say he who finds a wife finds a what? A good what? A good thing. And obtain what? Favor. Just because you married, there's favor on your life. See, I'm just saying, stay married. There's favor. All right. Y'all will catch that tomorrow. It's all right. Amen. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Well, this weekend has been a weekend that focused on setting the captives free. Amen. Amen. Now, we started out with marriages, but I want to help you understand that some people may not be struggling in their marriage. There may be some other things that they need to be set free of. Amen. Some of you may have great marriages and doing really wonderful. Some of you may be single and you whole being by yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm more than sure there is something that got your attention. I'm going to show there is something that's causing you to kind of go round the mulberry bush. Amen. And I believe by the Spirit of the Lord wants to set you free. Do you believe that? Amen. You can talk back to me. I'm that kind of preacher. Amen. I need some chatter out there, some noise. Amen. I know sometimes in church we feel that we shouldn't have a good time. Amen. I know we've been brought up where, you know, you don't dance in church and you don't shout and you don't say anything. But I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be rudely awakened because it's joyful up there. They're going to be all nations doing their little dances and shouting for Jesus. And they're going to be songs in heaven that you have not heard because you wasn't open enough for on earth. So God reserves them in heaven. Amen. Sometimes we can be so religious. Sometimes we can be so religious, man. I told my church, don't come to church if we ain't going to have a good time. I can stay at the house. Amen. But if I do come, if we come to the house of the Lord, we come with an expectation that God is going to be God. And that God is going to show out. Amen. And guess what? You can smile. Sometime in church, we be sucking on lemons. How you in church say it? How you in church and don't have no smile on your face when Jesus is the lover of our souls? How can you sit in church and be sad when the Spirit of the Lord is here to touch you and to release you from everything that you have that has burdened you? Amen. So we have a good time. Okay. Is that all right? Amen. I grew up Catholic. I know some of y'all did too. Amen. I grew up Catholic. Amen. And you know, it was very quiet and very solemn, but boy, when I got saved, boy, Jesus came into my life, loved on me. I had to shout. I had to thank him. I had to bless him because God is so good. Amen. Some of us shouldn't even be here if it had not been for the Lord, which was on our side. That's enough to praise him. Some of you could have died last year, but you made it. Some of you, the doctors gave a bad report to, but God said, not so, you're still here. Amen. That's enough to be excited about. That's enough to thank God for. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we believe by the Spirit of the Lord that God is still in the business of setting people free. I believe that. Amen. I believe that nothing comes easy. I found that there's things in God that take sacrifice. There's things in God that causes us to do something different other than what we're doing. From what I've been told, that's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing and expecting change. There is no change if you do the same thing. At some point, you have to do something different. At some point, you got to shift gears. You can't stay in second gear. You can't stay in third gear. You can't stay in fourth gear. Sometimes you got to shift up, and then there's sometimes you got to shift down. At some point, you got to make a change. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because I believe we are living in dark times. We are living in a time where things, where they're calling good evil and evil good. Amen. Look at our legislation. They're passing laws. Amen. And you know why they get the pass laws? Because the saints are too afraid to pray. The saints are at the house chilling. The saints are fighting one another. Instead of unifying, you got this church, you got that church, where we all can come together and we blame everybody else except ourselves. God has caused the church to be the answer in the earth. Amen. Jesus is the only one that got up. Buddha didn't get up. Allah didn't get up. But Jesus got up. Amen. We have the answer. And the answer is Jesus all day long. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we come together and pray, things change. Amen. Things change. We're living in a perverse world. Amen. And we are going to have to get more fight in us. We've been defeated way too long. We have let the devil sit in our houses and do what he want to do. We have let the devil do what he want to do in our churches. Let him do what he want to do in our homes. To affect our children in all kinds of ways. And we have been so tired and weary that we let them happen. We have been passed up for promotions. Our businesses are not flourishing because sometimes we just won't fight. We get so weary and well-doing. But God said, don't get weary and well-doing, for in due season you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. There's no fainting in the house of the Lord. Are you with me today? Amen. Hallelujah. How many know we are not the ain'ts of God? We're the saints of God. Come on, somebody. We're not dragging in. We're marching in. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. We come to fight. This is how we fight our battles. We fight our battles on our knees. We fight our battles in our praise. We fight our battles in our worship. We fight our battles with forgiveness. We fight our battles with love. This is how we fight our battles, church. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray that when you leave here, you're like on Ritalin, just shaking because of the power of God is in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. As pastors say, you just shimmy on out. That's scriptural. Yeah, it is. You know, the Bible says, you know, I find scripture for everything. The Bible says that when Paul got bit by a viper, brother, he sometimes you just gotta shake some stuff off. Why you think you need the anointing oil? Why you think that you are anointed? The word anointed means to be smeared. So that the devil can't touch. Okay. All right. Come on. Grease me up, God, so nothing can touch me. For you theologians, we will be talking scripture today. Jude chapter 1. Amen. Just in case they think this little guy can't rightly divide the word of truth. Chapter 1. Amen. Verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Amen. May God bless the hearers and doers of his word. Amen. We see that Jude's letter instructs believers to be a contender, to contend for the faith. Why? Because there are many ideas and many opinions that oppose the things of God. Amen. And as believers, we are called not to go along with every wind of doctrine, but we as believers are called to contend for those things that try to contend against the doctrines and the word of God. Amen. It is important that we as the church do not conform to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the washing of the word of God. Amen. It's important that we contend against ideologies, against mindsets that go against what God has ordained. This walk, church, is not a playground. This walk is a battleground. How do you know, Pastor? I'm glad you thought to ask me that question, because he said the righteous suffer many things. The violent things that we go through. But that same violence, take it by force. We take it by force. I'm amazed how the church have laid down its armor. No longer shall we lay it down. But it's time to swing the sword, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? That's how you're going to fight. There's going to come a time where we're not going to be able to afford health care. Some of you can't afford it now. What you going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to have to praise our way through. We're going to have to do like they do in third world countries where there is no doctor in sight. And they have to go thousands of miles to get to a preacher. And by the time that they get there, they are believing God for a healing and they get set free and delivered. We must work while it's day. While the Lord has us right now. Amen. Hallelujah. We must be contenders. Contenders, church. Are ready at a moment's notice because they always believe they are on the A side. As contenders, there's an attitude that we have, that we ought to have. Amen. Contenders go in with one thing in mind, Pastor, and that's the win. We're going in to win. We ain't going out like that. No matter if your team is down, we're going to fight, we're going to fight, we're going to fight, we're going to believe, we're going to stand. But we ain't going out like that. One thing in mind as a contender. Contenders are always ready to compete. Are you always ready? Are you ready to give an account for what you believe? Are you ready to go at the enemy to take back with that which belonged to you? Are you a contender? David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of God? He was ready to compete. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how wide you are. I don't care what kind of weapons you have. Who defies the armies of God? I am a contender. Come on, somebody. Have you stared your giant in the eyes lately? Or are you giving him some Oreo cookies? Are you playing with him? You know those things that cause you to struggle every single day? Are you just playing with it? Are you just playing around with it? Or are you looking it in its face and say, you know what? You're going down. I'm tired of you affecting me. I'm tired of you affecting my family. You got to go. Amen. We got to get tired of being sick and tired and do something different. Amen. Are you a contender? Have you looked trouble in the eyes and said, trouble? You are in trouble. Amen. Trouble, you are in trouble. Have you said to your struggles, you have stayed around way too long and it's time for you to go? That something happens when you get tired of just getting kicked in the head. At some point, you have to get back. You know, I grew up in the hood. My wife grew up in six hoods down. Hers was worse than mine. She called mine the neighborhood. Hers didn't have a neighbor in it. It just was hood. Amen. But in the hood, we had to fight. Any fighters in here? Did anybody grow up fighting? I know, why y'all act, only three people gonna be honest. God gonna deal with y'all. You know you're lying. You know that's not right to be in church not telling the truth. You know some of y'all used to be throwing them bees. I know you were. You wanna act like they ain't fought nobody, Pastor. Oh, I'm saved now. You wasn't always saved. You didn't always walk with Jesus. But back in the days, we had to fight. And at some point, you wasn't going to keep getting hit in the face over and over and over again. At some point, I'm going to hit you back. You're not going to hit me in my mouth no more. But it's interesting that when we got saved, we got a little wimpy. As if Jesus is weak when we have the Lion of Judah. You see, when Christmas time come around, and it's great to commemorate the Lord's birth, and that's wonderful, but for some reason as a believer, we think he's still in that manger. He ain't in that manger no more. When, you know, Good Friday and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we have examples of the cross to remind us of what he did for us. That's great. But he ain't on no cross no more. He's not a suffering Messiah. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's nothing weak about our Jesus. There's nothing weak about him. When you, let me tell you something. When your beard has been plucked out of your face beyond recognition, and you gasping for breath, and your blood has been drained, and you have been beaten, and you have been spat upon, and you're hanging naked, and people have ran out on you, the ones you healed, the ones you set free, the ones that you rolled with. I'm talking about Jesus, right? And just when he's getting ready to die, somebody whispers in his ear and say, psst, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If that had been me, I would have been like, dude, don't you see? I'm about to die. And you asking me for a favor? Don't you see? I'm beat. I'm battered. I'm about to give up this ghost, man. And you asking me? Can you remember you? I don't even deserve to be up there. You deserve to be up there. You're going to ask me a question, but yet Jesus in all of his glory turns to him and say, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a man's man to me. That's worth following, church. I don't care what no one says. That's worth following. That's a man's man. I'll serve him. Who took a licking and kept on ticking and still giving life like that? I'll serve him. I'll serve him. Amen. Contenders are always ready to compete. Always ready. Because your troubles and your struggles are just opportunities for God to be great. See, a contender looks at things differently than the rest of the world. A contender has this in their spirit. If I can't go through it, I'm going to go around it. If I can't go around it, I'm going to go over it. If I can't go over it, I can't go around it, I can't go through it, I'm going to blow it up. But I'm getting to the other side. That's a contender. That's a contender. Obstacles are just opportunities. Obstacles are not barriers, nor are they barricades. They're opportunities to be great. That's the mind of a contender. You are contenders. You gotta wake up every day and tell yourself, I am a contender. I am an overcomer. I am who God say that I am. I am a child of God. I'm not what they say about me. At the end of the day, I may not be this and I may not be that, but there's one thing I know for sure. I am a contender and I am a child of the King. Somebody give him glory. Somebody give him glory. Hallelujah. Contenders have a different spirit like Caleb. Contenders have an excellent spirit. A contender don't see themselves as grasshoppers. A contender sees themselves as giant killers. They see themselves as big. They see themselves as strong. Contenders has this in their spirit, that we are more than able, not because of who we are, but because who's with us. That's the mind of a contender. Boy, this is going to make you dangerous, huh? You're going to go to work and pray for everybody. You're like, you ain't give me no raise, but that's all right. Jesus is my provider. Amen. People are going to talk about you. They talk about me because you're pushing me forward to my destiny and my purpose. Say what you want to say. I'm going higher and higher. He's taking me from glory to glory. Say what you want to say, because I am a contender. Come on, church. Having a good time up here, Pastor. God didn't help me out. He didn't help me. Amen. There's something special up here, brother. No, amen. There's anointing up here. I can slide. Come on. Hallelujah, brother. Some of you are going to slide into your destiny. Amen. Slide into your purpose. Amen. You know, I got a scripture for that. The Bible says, the Bible says that Ruth left Naomi's house. And the Bible says she stumbled upon a field, and it was called Boaz's field. And they say, don't touch her. And she didn't know where she was, but she began to glean and she began to get blessed, and she didn't know whose field she was in. Sometimes you can slide into something that you don't know is even yours, but God said he was her kinsman's redeemer, and surely he is your kinsman redeemer. All you gotta do is shift and slide into your purpose and into your destiny. Somebody ought to give him glory on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Contenders are like Nehemiah. When he was building a building, and many came against him, and they said, Nehemiah, you need to come down. If a fox scaled that wall, it will fall. How many know there's many haters out there? There's many haters that can act like they can do it better than you can, but they ain't doing nothing for Jesus. Amen. But I would say, use your haters as elevators. Hate me all you want, but I'm rising to the occasion because I am a contender. Hate all you want to hate. Hate all you want to hate. All you're doing is pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. We see that Joseph went through some horrible things, sold by his brothers. And after he was sold by his brothers, he wound up in Potiphar's house. And from Potiphar's house to the dungeon. And then from the dungeon to the palace. And all his struggles was pushing him further and further to his destiny and to his purpose. So as contenders, we got to look at struggle very differently. Your struggle is pushing you. Your problems is pushing you. Your hurt and your pain is pushing you. Your disappointment is pushing you so that you can rule and reign. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. They will come to try to discourage you. But Nehemiah said, I can't come down because I'm doing a good work. I can't come down because I'm doing a good work. Church, we have to get into position to be blessed. Let me say that again. We have to get in position to be blessed. How many know you have to be at the right place at the right time to receive a blessing from the Lord? Because if you're not in the right place at the right time, you might just get passed by. So if this church is the blessed place for you, stay here. Don't go nowhere. Because your blessing is tied to this place. Now, if God says something else, do that. But if God has told you don't move, just think if the Israelites would have moved from Egypt prematurely, they wouldn't have got blessed. They had to stay there through the pain. They have to stay there through the difficulties for the time that God will redeem them. Amen. God is getting ready to redeem many of you out of your struggles and out of your issues. All you got to do is stay there. Stay put sometimes. That's the problem with being a living sacrifice. We wiggle off the altar sometimes. That's the problem. You shimmy off that thing. Don't shimmy off the altar. Let God deal and have his way. Let God take everything that's not like him out of you on the altar. Don't wiggle off. It may be painful, but the beautiful thing about the Lord is that he sweetly breaks us. He sweetly breaks us. He sweetly purges us. He sweetly deals with us. It may look like pain, but it's for your benefit. There's blessing in the pain. There's blessing in the suffering. Oh, we're blessed coming in. We're blessed coming out. We're blessed in this city. We're blessed in the field. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it is the Lord that delivers us out of them all. There's blessing in the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't stop now. You're doing a good work. Don't give up on the things that God has called you to. Now, I'm not saying go pick a fight with the devil. That's crazy. Let's put this thing in perspective. You're no match for the devil without the Holy Ghost. There's people who take on assignments. I'm going to kick the devil out and get whipped. Did God tell you to do that? Did God tell you go there and do that? If God didn't tell you that, he ain't honored to protect you in it. Got to put things in perspective. But if God has given you territory, and God has planted you in a region, you have a right to evict the devil. Amen? Well, you say, well, what is my territory? Your home. Your home. Your job. Your business. Your career. That is your territory. The devil don't have no reason to be sitting there chilling in your place of business. Chilling in your home. Chilling in your region when God has called you to rule and to reign. God will not do anything that he's given you the authority to do. Well, God, I need this to be dealt with. You deal with it. Well, God, I need that to be kicked out. Well, I already died. I already gave you the authority. What more authority you need? I'm not doing anything that I've given you the authority to do. I'm not dying again for you. I've done it. I'm finished. It is finished. That's what it says. It's finished. And now you have a job to do. You bind. You loose. You cast out. You cut off. You do it. in the power of the Spirit of God. God will settle for what you settle for. Did he not watch them wander for 40 years? What was God doing? Chilling. To the appointed time. And he said, how long are you going to go around this mountain? But he didn't say nothing in the 25th year. He didn't say nothing in the 10th year. He let them wander until they got tired. I'm going to get tired real quick. Because I don't want to keep looking at the same flower and seeing the same elk and seeing the same flowers and deers and all of the livestock. I'm tired of looking at the same cow. I don't want to be used to that. Amen. Some people get used to that kind of stuff. How you doing, Willie? How you doing, Sugarfoot? See, the same mule, the same time, over and over and over again. Even the mule is like, you come around here often, don't you? At some point, we gotta change. At some point, we gotta change our course. And the reason why we don't change is because we are afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid of change. But change is good. Change is good. You don't have to sit somewhere and keep being mistreated and dogged out and talked about and jacked up and stuff like that for the sake of security. God is your security. God is the lover of your soul. But sometimes we compromise because there's certain things we want to have at the expense of our own spirit, at the expense of our own salvation. At some point, we have to change. But I want to encourage you as I get ready to close my portion. Amen. As Pastor Tamika comes up, I want to tell you that we got to fight for our destinies. We got to fight for our purpose. We got to fight for our peace. We got to fight for our joy by any means necessary. And as I close, I was reminded of a song because God says that we are victors and God says that we are his champions. Yes, you are. You might not feel like it. It ain't about feelings in this walk. It's about belief. But since we are his champions, I reminded of a song that said, we are the champions, my friends. We keep on to the end. How many of y'all know that song? We are the champions. We are the champions. The devil is a loser. For we are the champions in the world. Amen. Y'all champions. You got to believe that. Some of y'all act like y'all ain't never heard that song. Wow. That song older than me.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. I don't know what I'm supposed to say after all that. I mean, he could have just wrapped it up. I'm cool with it. Amen. But how amazing is our God to just continue to encourage us? You know, a lot of times we fight from a place of looking for the victory. We fight from a place of looking for the tools and the weaponry that God has already given us. And God just keeps reminding us what you need is already on the inside of you. We have to understand that we bear the kingdom on the inside of us, because Jesus said the kingdom is within you. And so sometimes we deal with situations and circumstances from the perspective of looking for somebody to give us something or looking for someone to help us with something, when God says everything that you need is on the inside of you. The riches of his glory is on the inside of you. Do we really want to know why praise and worship is so important? Because what it does, it stirs us up to know that God is king and that God is Lord. Our situations and circumstances begin to diminish in his presence. We begin to realize the promises that God gave to us are truly yes and amen, and that there is nothing that can stand against the God that we serve. And when we praise him and we worship him, we send a sound into the atmosphere that declares that God is king, that God is Lord, that he will rule and reign forevermore. So why is your worship and your praise so important on a Sunday morning? It's the same importance on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, and a Saturday, which means we can never sit down on our praise. You got to understand, when you're going through stuff, the enemy likes to sit on us. That's why we got to know that we are contenders. Because he likes to sit on us and he likes to weigh on us heavy. And we feel like we are wore down and broke down. But the moment that we decide to take God at his word, when he said, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. It is our praise that begin to shake the enemy in us and around us. That the enemy can't lean on us no more. Because when we get that praise in us and we begin to declare, this is how I fight my battles. The enemy can't hold us down anymore. The enemy can't help but let you go and let your circumstances go. And how about this? Even if you're circumstances don't move, you done already moved, and you have a different perspective of what once looked like defeat to you. You now know that you have always been a victor. And so we have to know that the spirit of the living God, he dwells on the inside of us. And that's why it's important to know we can contend, because we have the spirit of God. I know sometimes it seems like some people just crazy out of their mind and say, you know what, it don't take all that. Let me tell you, it take all that and then some. These 20 some years of being in Christ, I realize it takes a whole lot more. And sometimes I just got to be laid out on the altar of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to stay on this altar as a living sacrifice until this flesh gets shook up, until this flesh realizes that you're bigger than my struggle, until this flesh realizes that you're bigger than my financial issues, my health issues, my relational issues, my business issues, anything that the enemy can throw at me. God is far bigger than that. But sometimes you gotta lay out there until your flesh get it. Because the spirit must lead who we really are in Christ Jesus. We are spirit beings and we have to live as spirit beings. We might live in this tent, but we are spirit. And so God continues to come to encourage us. You are a contender. Everything that you need dwells on the inside of you. Let not the enemy continue to convince you that you have not won and you're fighting for victory. We're not fighting for victory. We are already walking in victory. Victory is ours because he has already finished the work. He's saying live as one who's already victorious. You see, the thing about being a contender, first of all, we have to show up. How many know you can show up and not be present? And sometimes we show up to church, but we're not present. Because this is my just do. This is what you do on a Sunday morning. You go to church. But you see, one who goes to church, they not only show up, but they're present because they engage the presence of God. They realize that there's something that happens in a corporate setting, a corporate body, that there's a power, there's energy, there's the spirit of the Lord. When he said the full joint supply, that the body is fitly and joined together. So that means when I come here, I need something. There's a corporate sound that is sent out into the atmosphere when we are worshiping God. There's some things that can't hold on to you when you begin to sing the praises of God. Especially, he said, if one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. So with this church right here, we can send all the demons in this region on a run because we've sent out a sound into the atmosphere. So when I come here, I know there's something that I need. So I'm not coming here to patty cake God, to act like, oh God, you're so good. Oh no, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. See, you gotta know the word of God that gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. We gotta stop living like we're looking for something. We gotta know that we already possess it. So we come to church, we show up, and we are present. We show up in our homes, and we are present in our homes. We don't let the enemy keep coming in and eating our lunch and slithering in our homes and doing things with our kids. Let me tell you, when your children get grown, you can't make them do anything. But I'm reminded of Job, and he even made incense and atonement for his kids when he offered sacrifice for his children. They're going to eventually get right. But you got to realize that's not your business. That's between them and God now. But you can certainly continue to remain steadfast in intercession and prayer for their lives, that you don't just hand them over to the enemy. I'm talking about we are contenders. So we show up and we are present. When things are happening on your job, even in the school system, I remember our boys used to go through so many things in the school system. And sometimes we don't want our kids to go through anything. And so, you know, we pull them out, this, that, and the next thing. No, I remember times driving around the school and proclaiming the school for the glory of God till God brought in a godly principle. See, we got to exercise the power that's on the inside of us. We could keep showing up and saying, oh, well, this not right, and the teacher this and the teacher that. But the moment we decide to exercise the power of God that dwells on the inside of us and contending for the faith that God has given us, the gospel of truth that is everlasting life for all those who receive it, that we can go drive around that school and then God will shift the atmosphere of bringing in a godly principle. See, we have to show up and we have to be present. See, we have to stop fighting this thing in our flesh and fight in the spirit. See, we've made too many fleshly wars. Now is the time to war in the spirit. And it's just what we were doing this morning when we talked about this is how I fight my battle. Because it does something in the spirit realm. You put on your praise and you put on your worship and you proclaim who God really is. Because we are contenders. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Contenders show up sober. The word of God say, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a continual infilling of God's Holy Spirit that happens when we come into a place and we surrender and allow the Spirit of the Lord that brings joy, that brings peace, that brings patience, that brings kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. When we allow him to rule and reign in our lives, because the Holy Spirit brings boldness. The Holy Spirit leads. This, the things that we do on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, it postures us for the Holy Spirit to continue to infill our lives. You're going to only take in what you feed yourself. And if you're feeding yourself in the word of God, the spirit of God through prayer, praise, and worship, the spirit will continue to fill you. But if we continue to allow ourselves to be filled with complaining and murmuring and backbiting, that's exactly what we'll be filled with. So it's a continual infilling of God's spirit that allows us to be sober, which means to be alert. Why is it important to be alert? Because the Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion. You don't know that he's like a roaring lion. If you're not alert, it says be vigilant, Mitch, which means being watchful. You don't know he's just like a roaring lion if you're not watching. So when you see him, it looks like he has a bite when he does not. So we have the enemy parading our premises, our spiritual, emotional premises. The enemy is walking about and he's roaring loud. The children acting up, he roaring loud. The boss is acting up, he's roaring loud. I'm looking in the bank account and I don't have anything in there and he's roaring loud. But because I'm alert and I am aware and I am watchful and God already told me that he's like a roaring lion, then I know that there is no bite that he has that can harm me. So what it then tells me is that God is processing me for something greater. So if there's not money in my bank account, is it really about me having money in the bank account? But is God trying to teach me a new level of faith? You see, God told me a long time ago that having faith and having favor is better than having money in the bank. Because sometimes when we got money in the bank, we can't see God. Now, y'all got real quiet on me. Hear me now. Sometimes when we have money in the bank, we won't have faith. Sometimes God wished that we would be made whole. He said, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul shall prosper. Sometimes we want help without the prosperity of our souls. He wants our minds, our wills, and our emotions to be in good health. But sometimes we can't seek after that which is greater because all we can see is I'm aching in my body. And granted, I know what it's like to be in pain. But God said, I wish above all that you would be in good health, even as your soul shall prosper. Sometimes we got to go after the prosperity of our soul in order to see that our physical bodies may be healed. Because you know, they have some people, they might not have an ache in their body, but their soul is sick. We got to understand that we are contenders for the faith. And so as contenders for the faith, our soul has to be well, our mind, our will, and our emotions, because we have to be alert and we have to be watchful. So when the enemy begins to prowl about our premises, we already know that there is nothing that he can do to harm us. Come on, stay with me now. People of God, you are more powerful than you can imagine. When we get to the place of stop looking at the thing that we are believing God for and keep our eyes fixed on God, we become dangerous. See, oftentimes, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, of seeking first the kingdom, and then all these things will be added. Oftentimes, we're seeking for the things, but not the kingdom. And so what we say is, God, I want you to bless my marriage. I want you to bless my money. And if you're glorified in the midst of it, then great. But God said, if you seek my glory first, I'll make everything else work out on your behalf. Because we are contenders for the faith. So in other words, then I'm not in a struggle because I'm feeling something in my body. I realize that there's something far greater that happens, because with that, I'm persevering and I'm pressing through. Yesterday was a strange day. I felt so many aches and pains in my body, but I also know the Spirit of the Lord was doing a great work in the midst of his people. I had one of two options. I could sit there up and say, oh, woe is me. Can you pray for me? And I'm complaining. No. God, this is the life I live as a living sacrifice. I know that I've already won. I want to see somebody else win. So you know what? The aches and pain in my body didn't really make a whole lot of difference, because I wasn't going to do anything different. But to see to it that the will and the plan of God would go forth, that somebody else might live in a place of deliverance and being set free. I'm talking about, you become so dangerous to the enemy. He realized you waking up in the morning. He said, oh, there she go again. Let's go in the other direction. This is the kind of power that we possessed on the inside, because you see, Christ died for us. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ died for us, and he gave us his Spirit as a deposit. And so it's important that we stay filled. We stay in these environments, stay in our words, stay in fellowship with the body, because you know, it's much more difficult to drink from a glass of water that's about this filled or might even be empty. It takes a whole lot of work to drink from that. But we have to understand that we are vessels of honor, vessels of the living God. So we have to stay filled up. That's why he said, be ye filled with the Spirit, so we can be filled to overflowing. So when people drink, they're drinking from our overflow and not keep allowing us to be in a deficiency. We got to live in the place of the overflow with God's Spirit. Sometimes it takes us just basking in his presence. I consider myself a worshiper, and I don't sing. I don't sing, but I'm a worshiper. Praise God. But I will listen to my worship, put my plugs in at work and worship, my phone going. I'm in the car. Worship, worship, worship. One of the things God had to speak to me this year, he said, you know what? Shut the worship off sometimes. Because even that which seems to be good can become noise. We need to be in the place where God can speak to us deeply. And I tell you, hearing God so much more clearly, just being in his presence. Sometimes we're trying to force something. It's God, we want to hear you, want to hear you. God, and you know, sometimes God is speaking and we can't hear him because other things have become noise in our spirits. Sometimes we just need to quiet ourselves in the presence of God. When you take your whole family, I remember Jehoshaphat, he took the whole nation, the animals, the men, the women, and the children, and put them in a place of consecration that they could hear from the Spirit of the Lord because they were in a dangerous situation. Sometimes you have to understand the desperation of the hour that we're in our families and in our school systems, on our jobs, that sometimes you got to call it like it is and say, hey, you know what, family? God bless you. Love you all. Know we all busy, but we need to take a moment in the presence of God just for God to move and God to speak to our hearts. Lots of times it's not even the circumstances around us. It's what's happening on the inside of us. And if he calms the storm on the inside of us, everything else around us look a whole lot different. So we have to understand that as contenders, we have to stay filled with the Spirit of the living God. It is important for the hour that we live in. This is a season of transition and shifting. And if you want to shift, make the shift. Take a step and make the shift. And say, God, I don't even know what this all supposed to look like, but allow the Holy Spirit to come in and invade your life in a way that you have never been invaded before. Allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign and lead you in a way you may not have been led before. And just know that it might not look pretty, because last time I checked, it was the Holy Spirit who led Christ into a wilderness, but it was a place that he needed to go right before he began his public ministry. We got to understand, it's not going to always look peaches and cream, but I guarantee you, when God is done with us through the process, when we step into the next season of glory, we will be prepared. So let us not resist the process. Let God do in you with by his Holy Spirit what it is that he desires to do. And I tell you, you're talking about being a contender. You will understand that not only are you a contender, but you are a champion. You are a champion for the living God. That alone is enough to make me jump off this altar. For the living God, our God is alive and well and active. He rules and reigns both in heaven and in earth. We got to understand that he was the one who set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. Let me tell you, I know what they taught me in science, but I still don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it. How is it that the stars are set in their place? The moon, I'm telling you, sometimes the moon is so big, I could only imagine what it would be like if I was up close. But yet the moon stays in its place. I am seeing these valleys and these hills and these mountains. And you know, I know man could not do that. I consider the sands of the sea that holds back the oceans that still don't make sense to me why the ocean don't still just go and overflood the lands, but only because God says this is the furthest that you can go. So he put the sands in place. We got to understand the amazing God that we serve. We have gotten caught up in the things that we can see that's pretty much eye level. But if you take an assessment of what's happening both in heaven and in earth, when he said heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, we got to understand the big and powerful God that we serve. Do we understand how the human body works? I'm talking about understanding how to be a contender, one who's sober and vigilant, one who's watchful and alert, because the roaring lion keeps coming about trying to take us out. We got to understand that God created the roaring lion. He is a created being. And so we're talking about a God who has created human nature, how the brain functions. Where is the brain suspended in my skull and in my head, and how my bones and everything still connected, how I have breath in my body, that he blew breath in Adam in the beginning of time, and it's the same breath that sustains me today. I don't understand that. But that is the amazing God that we serve, the same God who empowered you by his Holy Spirit to be a contender, but not just a contender, but to be a champion of love. Sometimes love comes at us. We don't even know how to respond to love that we rejected, but as champions of love, we embrace the people that God sends to us in our lives, because we recognize this thing is far greater than the hurt and pain that I experienced from the last relationship. From the last church, being a champion of love, I keep my heart open because I say, God, I know I got messed up back there in that last experience, but I trust you. Because then I realized this thing is far greater than my offenses. This is about the glory of God. This is about his kingdom being advanced. He said, be steadfast in the faith. Contend for the faith. Contend for the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is a gospel of love. But if I can't walk in love, what is it that they see? So I'm a champion of love in spite of my past hurts and my past pains. I'm a champion of peace. That when all things around me are raging like a storm, and Jesus said, as he told them in the boat, he said, peace be still. That I can walk in peace when everything around me is going all wrong. And people wondering why. Why is it that you are so peaceful? They're getting ready to lay off half of us. Why are you so peaceful? Because I'm a champion of peace. Because the spirit of peace lives on the inside of me. I'm talking about contenders and champions. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if we can get this, I tell you, we will turn our homes back right side up. We will turn our communities back right side up. Even for some of us, we will turn regions right side up, because we begin to recognize that this thing is not about me. This is about the glory of God. So I'm no longer getting my eyes fixed on the thing that I'm believing for, but it's fixed on God. Because he said, if I fix my eyes on him, he'll add the thing that I'm believing for. We're champions. He said, the righteous are as bold as lions. We have to understand the fight was fixed. When we asked Christ into our lives, the fight was fixed. The fight was fixed when we connected with the body of believers. See, it's one thing to give your life to Christ, but it's another thing to get plugged into the body. You got to know that you've already won. When you're in the midst of people who will pray for you. And people who will pray with you. See, sometimes we will get tired. But because we are contenders, we know to go to there where there's a place of refuge and strength. It's just like a fighter going into his corner and getting refreshed for another round. We come here on Sunday mornings and get refreshed for another round. Because it's all about what we do when we go out there. So we have Coach Jesus in our corner rooting us on. And sometimes he say, oh yeah, he might have hit you hard on that one. But he say, let's fix you up and keep it moving. Get down on your knees in prayer. Make this a day of consecration. It's all right. Say, that circumstance might have hit you a little bit hard. Say, but today going to be a day of praise and of worship. Say, you get back in there and you keep on fighting. You keep on pressing because I done gave you the Holy Spirit. You're not going down. You can't lose. This fight has already been fixed. As long as you don't give up my spirit, you've already won. And so we got Coach Jesus in the corner rooting us on, and he's declaring that we are already champions. It doesn't matter who our enemy is. It doesn't matter how the enemy come at us. We just need to know that we've already won. And so the Spirit of the Lord encourages you today. Get up, man of God. Get up, woman of God. This is your hour to fight. Go head on. Get back in the ring. You can't lose. It's already been fixed. You've already won. You've already won. You've already won. Go back and get your stuff. Go back and fight for your families. Go back and fight for your position on your job. Go back and fight for your position in your ministry. Go back and fight for your children. Because Coach Jesus said you've already won. And you now time you got to walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Because this is, it is yours. It is yours. You've already won. And I know some of us have struggled in this last season. Are feeling down and out and defeated. God says, get back up and get back in the fight. You've already won. As long as you allow the Spirit to continue to lead your life, as long as you allow the Spirit to continue to fill you up, you've already won. This is your day of recognizing your already victory. Because not only are you a contender, but you are a champion. You are a champion for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Woo.
Champions, stand up. Amen. Contenders, amen. Nothing, nothing, nothing can keep you from being what God wants you to be. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Amen. This morning we're going to have communion, and I really believe that the Spirit has set us up for this time of communion to really embrace and understand what God wants and wants to be able to move in you. Amen. How many of you are getting tired of being a stepping stone for the enemy? Many can say, I don't want the enemy to use me no more. I'm tired of him stepping on me and using me and abusing me. I'm a contender. Contenders don't quit. Many of you, when Pastor Tamika was up here talking, you know, when that sister gets on the anointing, just stand back and listen because it's gone. But when she was speaking, I saw Rocky. How many of you have seen the movie Rocky? Got hit with the enemy's best. But he said, I'm not going down. I'm not going down. He would fall down and the referee would start his count and he'd get back up. He said, I'm not going down. I know I have him right where I want him. Even though it looked like you, he was defeated. How many of you have looked like the enemy has you right where he wants you? You feel defeated. Just look over to that corner. Jesus standing there. Say, the Holy Spirit's upon you, my son, my daughter. Get up one more time. Because this time is the time that we're going to take the championship. We're going to defeat the enemy. Some of you need to hear that God wants you to be victors. God wants you to rise up and be able to say, if my God is for me, who can be against me? So as we come up for communion this morning, I want you to leave some things when you come up here. I want you to leave doubt. I want you to leave confusion, frustration, defeat. I want you to leave it here when you come up. Just even shake it over here. Just get rid of it. And take up the bread. And take up the cup. Because that's the way the Lord defeated the enemy. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. We get to grab the bread and the cup and say, Lord, you did this for me. And you're my champion. You're my champion, Lord. So this morning as we come up, let there be an exchange here at the altar. Let there be an exchange. And if it means leaving some stuff, leave it. Leave it. Don't walk in one way and walk out the same. We get an opportunity today to come in and say, you know what, Lord, I walked in one way. There was struggles. There was things that I've been facing. Pastor Floyd touched on those things that make us go round and round and round. We get to leave them here. We get to say, I'm going to be victorious when I walk out of this place. It's your choice. Our God says that He gives us choices. Choose you today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come up, church. Come up, church. Make an exchange at the altar. In Jesus' name. Mighty God. You're a loving Lord. Victory is in your presence, my God. We get to enjoy and ask your greatness to come with us. Father, we do this in remembrance of you. We take the bread, drink the cup, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. How many believe that God can change your circumstances and situations? How many of you are ready to see some changes in your life and saying, you know what? Today is the day that I get to leave stuff here. I'm letting God take a new place in my life. His place of authority. I'm going to worship Him in the midst of every situation because I know that when I call down the presence of God, the atmosphere changes. This morning, I want to remind everyone that we are going to be having the fellowship next door. You're welcome to go, come and eat. Remember, it's more of a fundraiser for the kids. Don't forget to tip the kids. But I want to give you guys an opportunity. Anyone here that needs extra prayer, I want to open the altars. I want you to come up. Pastor Tamika, Pastor Floyd are here to pray. To encourage you. If you feel you need that little extra just a breakthrough in your life, I want to give you that opportunity. So let us pray. Those of you that wanted, I know there's quite a few already over there getting everything ready, getting it situated. Father, I just pray. And I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the word, Father, that you brought through your servants, Pastor Floyd and Pastor Tamika, and the challenge that they brought forth, Father, that, Lord, that we need to stand up and become contenders. We are more than conquerors. But we need to rise up as a people and take our rightful place in you. And I pray right now, Father, the Lord, that you work in the hearts that are here. And Father, if there are some that still need a little more encouragement, a little more prayer, Father, we open the altars. And we also just want to pray over, Father, the food and the preparation that is ready for us. But Lord, we thank you for today, Father, for a day of visitation. A day that we can truly say, we got to spend time with our God. We thank you, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. So I open the altars up. If anyone wants to come up for prayer, come on up. If you need to get going, make sure you stop and eat and then head your way.